Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
I am the
Hello, Sacred Rebels, and welcome. I'm Victoria Haffer, the host of Inspired Rebel Radio, a podcast where you get inspired to step outside the box, embrace your fears, and live your life as if the gate was left wide open. I'm so excited to have a special guest today on the show, a true Sacred Rebel herself, Karen Dalton. Karen is the founder and executive vice president of Dare to Dream Ranch in Foster, Rhode Island, a 501c3 veteran nonprofit that offers alternative therapy programs for service members, veterans and their families experiencing emotional challenges like PTSD, anxiety, depression, mild TBI, and military sexual trauma. Her center offers equine therapy, yoga, nutritional cooking, woodworking, fly tying, fishing, and more. A daughter of a U.S. Marine, Ms. Dalton learned at a very young age what it was like to live with someone with anger management issues. The modalities that are offered at the ranch help Ms. Dalton to go from being an executive to being disabled to back to being an executive, and now she is breaking that cycle. Karen Dalton, everyone. Hey, Karen, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you. How are you?
Hey, Karen, thanks. I'm doing great. So glad to have you on today. So I recently met Karen, maybe within the month, right? I'd heard about your amazing center and the really powerful work that you were doing, and I went to visit with Karen and saw the space and got to meet and mingle with her amazing herd, her team. And it was just really great. And I just thought, how can I help? You know, how can I help spread the word? So, clearly this work with the veterans is near and dear to your heart, Karen. So let's start with you telling us a little bit about your background and how your story has inspired you to open Dare to Dream Ranch and the powerful work that you're doing with the veterans.
Sure. Thank you so much for having me on. I was actually going to school through the Institute for Integrative Nutrition to become a certified health coach to work with physicians. My day job is I am the executive director for the Rhode Island Academy of Family Physicians. And as you may know, family physicians, how they get paid is on the health of their patients. So as I was going through that program, though, I learned that other past graduates were doing some really amazing, meaningful work, changing health policies and on the Food Network and writing books, nutrition books. And I thought about, what I wanted to do and really wanted to do something that was impactful. So when I journaled about my journey in life and when I was a child and working with my dad who's a Marine and my life and how it transitioned from there, choices that I made because of that, I came up with this idea of this retreat and offering the different modalities of equine therapy and gardening and nutrition and exercise and surrounding yourself with other like-minded people.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. So, you talk a little bit about your past life and, your dad being a Marine and, I'm guessing that, so what is your why here? Like, that's great. It's amazing, the work that you're doing. But usually we have this, like, really deep, deep connection, like, from our heart. You clearly overcame many trials and tribulations, in your childhood. And so would you mind sharing a little bit about that with us?
So my why, my dad, even though he was a very loving person and we had a lot of great memories, he also had some anger management issues. So we walked on eggshells and I always didn't know when he was going to explode. And at 10 years old, when I didn't do my chores, ended up being thrown across a room, and my brother didn't take out the trash, watching him being choked one-handed to the ceiling and feet dangling or being thrown into a boat or there are a lot of different circumstances that come with anger management issues. And because of that, I made some poor relationship choices. And because of that, I ended up in a 20-year relationship, and I was diagnosed with fibromyalgia. At my worst, I was on 180 milligrams of morphine, muscle relaxers, antidepressants, and sleep meds to get through my day.
Whoa.
Through all the modalities that we will offer at the ranch, I've been able to go from an executive to actually being disabled for 3 years and back to being an executive and running the Rhode Island Academy of Family Physicians. So I want to help others to break that cycle so that we help our returning service members learn how to deal with their emotions and challenges that they've experienced. My father came from a home that was always yelling and screaming, my mom tells me that she made him promise they would never fight the way his parents did. So he would hold it in and he would bottle it up so that when us kids did something, we felt the brunt. So teaching through horses how to deal with those emotions, how to deal with relationships, trust, leadership, nonverbal communication in a healthy way.
Yeah, wow. That's pretty powerful. Thank you so much for sharing. So we hear so much about trauma and PTSD in the media. Could you just tell our listeners, for those who don't really know what it is or have not been touched by it, you know, what is PTSD and what maybe are the signs and the symptoms of having that?
Oh, not one shoe fits all, right? So somebody that has PTSD, which is post-traumatic stress disorder, doesn't necessarily mean somebody that was in the military. It can be somebody that was in a car accident. It could be somebody that was in a violent home, brought up in a violent home, domestic violence. So there are many different reasons why someone may have post-traumatic stress disorder. They may have difficulty sleeping because the memories come flooding back at night when they're still. They may be anxious. They may have depression, may have social issues because of that. They might be hypervigilant if they were in the military. Maybe they were always on guard and they had to be always on the lookout and watching, you know, never being able to just be calm and be in the moment and be still. Always having to be hypervigilant. And they may be fight or flight. You know, you either had to fight your situation or you had to run out of your situation. So it's different circumstances like that, and maybe having difficulty keeping a job because of it, may have difficulty driving because of it. Mm-hmm. And horses are a great way to help that. Horses are a hypervigilant fight or flight animal. So, and they also mirror a human reaction and emotion. They may know that you're angry before you even realize you know you're angry by reading your facial expressions, reading your body posture, sensing the energy that's coming off of you. And in that case, they may not come anywhere near you because they're like, whoa, that's negative energy, you know, right? So they want to run away. Right. And by looking at that, they can then address that situation and realize, whoa, what am I doing? So in those circumstances, they have to learn how to change themselves, where if you were in a human interaction, the person may get angry with the other person. But with the horse, you can't overpower a 1,200-pound horse or with our draft horse, an 1,800-pound horse, you have to learn how to control yourself.
Right. Sure. And through the guidance of a equine facilitated learning coaching facilitator like yourself or like myself, right? So tell us a little bit more about kind of like a typical session that you go through with, and I know there's no typical. We know there's no typical with this work.
Right. So to back that up, my program is called RISE. It's Respect, Inspire, Support, and Empower. So I'll respect you respect us and our animals, our property. That's how we start. right from the beginning. And then inspire for greatness. So taking somebody's passions and talents and figure out what do they want to do with that? Who do they want to serve with that? Is there a specific demographic that they've worked with that they find joy in working with? Support. What kind of support do they need? Do they need internships? Do they need job shadows? Do they need schooling? What kind of support do they need to help them reach their goals? And then empowerment for success, because we can't want it more than they do. So we will empower them. We will give them every tool in our toolbox to help them with that. But every individual is going to be different because everybody's goals are going to be different. So it could be we start with just talking about that, spending some time, getting to know them, find out what it is that brings them joy. I do an exercise where we do really deep breathing and visualize our breath leaving our mouth, going down to our toes, coming back up through our body, and getting ourselves into a relaxed state of mind. We do that about 10 times, and then we picture, where are you? What are you doing that brings you joy? What brings a smile on your face? Who's around you as you're doing this breathing? What are you doing that makes you feel happy? And then when you take that, then we figure out, okay, now that is your passion. What are your talents? And then what kind of support do you need to make you a successful civilian? So going through that, then we can decide from there what exercises we would do with the horses, or whether it's getting out in the garden and weeding out the garden. Getting your hands in the dirt is very therapeutic and nurturing. Is it working with the dogs? We have a couple of dogs that we use for petting and some relaxation exercises. We also have 3 baby goats that we use for that as well.
Yeah, adorable.
We can talk about nutrition. We have 11 acres. We have 6 of that is actually 8 of that is woods. So we have huge, gorgeous trails. We can walk through the trails and talk about what's going on and just appreciate the nature, or we can bring the animals with us. So, and we can do exercises in the paddocks too with the horses. Mm-hmm. So every session will be different.
So, we know obviously with a lot of veterans, they tend to have some kind of a disability. And most people, when they think of horses, they automatically think of horseback riding. So again, if going back to the actual equine facilitated learning and coaching, can you tell us a little bit more about that and what that might look like? And especially if someone, are you able to accommodate veterans in wheelchairs, right? So coming in and working with the horses.
Right. So actually, we can't accommodate now wheelchairs because we just had a driveway put into the barn. Just like last week. Yeah, we'll give a shout out to J.H. Lynch Construction Company that donated the milled pavement as they were digging up Route 100 here in Barberville.
Nice.
So they donated the pavement, and we had a new driveway put in, so somebody with a wheelchair can have access all the way down to the barn and to the paddocks. So if we're working with the horses, we find a horse that somebody may resonate with. We have seven different horses so that they can pick from. And then we could do different exercises from observing the horse, if they have a specific challenge maybe with relationships. We can invite them to observe the horses in their relationships and how they're communicating and how they're moving towards or away from one another, that person can then either interact with the horse, or they could just sit back and watch the horses, and how they can associate that with what's going on in their lives. But it's an experiential learning, so that they have to experience it and they have to help themselves through that.
Yeah, pretty powerful work. So what are some of, examples of, you said you had just finished up a client right before, or perhaps another client you might want to share about some breakthroughs or aha or golden nuggets that your clients usually get from working with you at the ranch?
Yeah, again, it's individual. So if somebody comes in and they're having difficulty with communicating with a spouse, and realizing they needed to find their own peace in their own space. And with observing the horses, you can see that one horse may come in, touch the other horse just to check in, and walk away and go back to doing its own thing. You may see they stay together and they may groom one another. And then you may see a different horse that will come in and break that up. And, what does that look like in maybe a family dynamic? But there, we can bring in pool noodles to set up obstacle courses. We can bring in other objects to set up something that might be an obstacle or a challenge somebody's going through, and how do you overcome that, right? So sometimes we try to force a situation or expect somebody else to change. But when we're working with a horse, if the horse isn't doing what you want, you can't yell at it. You can't force it. You're going to have to change what you're doing and how you're behaving in order for that horse to change. And then they can talk about that. How did that make them, what did they think about that? And what did the horses do? Did they move their feet? Did they connect with one another? How can they relate that to what they're currently doing in the situation that they're having challenges with?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really great. So it's not just individuals. You're also working with the families, right, with the veterans and their families, whether it can be children, it could be a spouse, or I don't know, anyone else. Does anyone ever bring their mother in or their father in?
No, no one has. I mean, we did host a Yellow Ribbon here where we did have service members that came in with their mother or their father, and they did interact with the horses together, but more of how to calm yourself and how to approach a horse. So it was more on a natural horsemanship environment, not necessarily on an individual counseling session, because again, it wasn't a private, situation. So there are different types of sessions too that could be done where it's not necessarily a business environment and learning than a environment of personal counseling.
Sure.
But we had kids come in, parents bring their children that maybe the parents are getting divorced, circumstances that are going on, allowing the kids power to be able to choose what exercise the family was going to do, where at home they don't have that power. Maybe the parents are always dictating what they're doing, right? So this in this circumstance, the kids get to dictate their activity, and the kids get to decide where the parents are and where they stand and how they interact with the activity.
Great. Good, yeah, and great team building, right, for the family or for the couple.
Correct.
So that's great, amazing. So as a holistic health coach myself, I understand the profound benefits in making changes in our diet to improve mood function and decrease things like anxiety and depression. So tell us how you use food or work with food and cooking with the veterans that can make a lasting impact while also making it affordable for them. Because as we all know, sometimes it can be somewhat challenging to eat, very healthy. So, if you could share a little bit about that with us. That'd be great.
Yeah, so the nutritional cooking is talking about, well, first of all, some people in the service come right out of school, right? So they may go right from high school into the military, and from the military they're released, and they never learn how to cook on their own, right?
Basic
cooking skills is always good to be able to teach them, too, to hands-on from just the basics of cleaning and preparing foods to how to cook them. And then choosing foods that maybe are seasonal, so it makes it more affordable, right? So you're not shipping in foods that are out of season, which can be more expensive, but cooking locally and sustainably. For instance, Rhode Island, or all of New England, has a plan to have 50% of all produce grown locally by the year 2060.
Ooh.
So if we can talk about how we can incorporate veterans as farmers, it will also be able to help with Rhode Island's strategic plan in sustainability and keep them healthier, because it's going to be local food, it's going to be sustainable food, it's going to be cheaper because it's grown during that time frame rather than shipping it in from across the country.
Sure. Wow, that's exciting. I did not know that. That's really great. I'm super excited about that. That's amazing. That is so cool.
Yeah, I've worked on some work with the Department of Agriculture to be able to help incorporate veteran farmers into their strategic plan.
Yeah, it's so beautiful. Because, I mean, we could definitely talk about the whole situation with veterans and how, especially, you know, being fairly new to Rhode Island and Providence and just seeing how many homeless people, you know, are out there and how many of them are vets. And it just really breaks my heart. So, I'm just definitely warms my heart that you're taking such a vested interest in.
Yeah. And on that note, because we don't just work with just homeless and at-risk veterans, we work with the entire service member, veteran, family population, right? Mm-hmm. So, but we did have the Providence Center out yesterday, which was very rewarding to meet these veterans and hear about, what they're working on and utilizing all of my networking capabilities to be able to possibly help them or help other veterans with resources that will help them to become successful. So, even though the veterans that came yesterday weren't looking for a job that needed a CDL license, I did have a recent resource because one of the dump trucks that came and dropped off this milled pavement really was excited about what we're doing here and gave me his business card and said he's looking to hire veterans. So the leader of the Providence Center that came out, I gave him his card and this gentleman's card, and he had somebody else that is part of the 12 veterans that are living at the Providence Center that does have a CDL and is looking for a job. So it's all that networking.
That's great. Well, this is clearly your dharma, sister. I mean, you know, it seems like doors are like wide opening for you and things are just, you know, happening. And, you know, all the hard work that you've accumulated over the years, right? It seems like things are finally starting to. That's the thing. People start to notice things, but they don't realize how much, you know, blood, sweat, and tears that actually went into it before, you know, suddenly it just shows up and it looks so easy. But you have been the.
This has actually been, it's been 7 years in the making. If we look at when I started doing networking and I started volunteering for Leukemia and Lymphoma Society 5 years ago and started becoming a health coach, he says 7 years ago. And then it's been the last 2 years specifically focusing on this.
Wow. It's amazing. Well, you clearly get stuff done. That's great. So yoga has become quite a mainstream topic these days for sure. I'd love to know how the yoga has been beneficial to your program and specifically to the veterans and how you incorporate yoga into the program.
So currently we have really referred, we've made connections because I said I love to network, right? So we have connections with several different yoga studios, so they don't have to come all the way up to Foster to take yoga.
Gotcha.
Shri Studio in Pawtucket, Allison Bologna from Channel 10 has a nonprofit called Shri Studio in Pawtucket. She has a military yoga program on Monday nights at 6 o'clock. They can attend for free to that program. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, we have another nonprofit that offers, a yoga studio that offers to veterans for intro class. I will have that information for you. You can post it a later time. And then Team Red, White, and Blue, which is another veteran nonprofit, they offer a hot yoga on Wednesday nights. And that one's more, from what I've been told, a more advanced yoga, but it's another opportunity for them to have a free yoga. But yoga has a lot to do with relaxation, meditation, strength building, and confidence.
Sure. Yeah, and not to mention the present moment stuff, right, which is a big,
right,
big
being
aspect
mindful,
of,
right? That's where that meditation comes in, is being mindful in the moment, paying attention to what's going on in your body, doing different exercises that will help stretch and give you more mobility. Depending on circumstances, people may be having a difficult time with moving, and mobility is a hardship, which causes maybe some anxiety or causes depression. And sometimes if you can work through the yoga, hopefully you can work through some of the other issues as well.
Right. That's great. That's amazing. So anything else? So I feel like we've hit mostly, there's a few other things that are in the programs, like fly fishing. If you want to just talk a little bit about some of those other things that we haven't covered yet, because I find those to be really fascinating
So woodworking. We have a retired Navy chief that he was in the military for 22 years, and he struggled. You know, when people go into the military for several different reasons. It could be loyalty to their country. It could be the entire family, the uncles and the fathers and grandfathers, and everybody served, and they feel an obligation. Or it could be, like a recent client of mine, it could be that they're trying to escape poverty. It could be that they're trying to escape a domestic violence situation at home, and they think that's the only way they're going to get out of it is to join the military. There are several different, they want to go to college. They couldn't afford college. People go in for several different reasons. And then when they come out, they stay in, they have the camaraderie, somebody has their back, they feel like they have this mission and this purpose in life and feel like, you know, they have a reason to live, right? And then when they're released from the military and they're a civilian now, we don't work the same way. We don't have that structure that they have in the military. And you may not have somebody that has your back and knows what you're going through and cares whether or not your pants are pressed and your shoes are polished. And they struggle with that. It might not necessarily be that they blew up in an IED and, you know, may have lost some of their battle buddies. It may not be that they were always on a hypervigilant, post all the time, always worrying about is somebody going to kill them or their friends. It may just be that when they get out, that they spent 20 years, 22 years in the military, and they're struggling with, what do I do with the rest of my life? Who am I now? So this retired Navy chief started woodworking. And woodworking helped bring people into his life that enjoyed woodworking. And he enjoyed that and working with hands and creating these items that, you know, you can look at and go, wow, I did that. You know, I accomplished this. And now he is using his skills to help other veterans with that. So it's mindful work. Again, it's you're focusing on what's in front of you, because using machinery, using a table saw, you can lose your hand.
Yeah.
So you have to be focused, and you have to be paying attention. Right. You have to be mindful. And so it helps to you do that. The more often you do that, the less you're focusing on the things that are bothering you.
Yeah, and
so
plus you're creating something, right? So you're creating this. I mean, you can create a bench.
Exactly.
Yourself, and like you talk about the sustainability factor of like, imagine if we could make our own stuff, our bed frames and all these other things, and that's pretty empowering. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, definitely.
Very cool.
And then the fly tying and the fly fishing, we have one of our board members is a daughter of a U.S. Army service member and or a veteran, and she loves outdoors, loves the hunting and shooting range days and they always doing outdoor things, and she came to me and said, "Can I do this? There's white papers, there's scientific evidence that shows working on the fly ties, focusing. You literally have to have a magnifying glass, this big, huge magnifying glass, so you can focus on making these fly ties. And it's again, you're in the moment, it's mindful, and you have to be focused. So you're not thinking about what else is going on. And then time in nature, right? We know how relaxing time in nature is. So
unplug, baby.
So it's, you know, you get outside, spend a whole day with friends fly fishing.
Yeah, that's amazing. That is so cool. So we're about halfway through. Listeners, if you'd like to call in and speak to Karen, say something, give us some feedback. The phone number is 646-716-7979. We'd love to hear from you. Wow, great. That's amazing. So are all of these available? Do you have ongoing programs, or are they kind of like available at a case-by-case basis? So they get in touch with you through the website, and then, you know, they set up a time. So tell us a little bit about
the website is www.daretodreamranch.org. My email and my cell phone are located on there, and they can contact me. Our equine sessions are by appointment. We do schedule ahead of time for our woodworking on Monday nights from 6 to 8 p.m. in Middletown. That we can take 3 to 4 clients per night, so you would need to schedule your appointment in there. And then we have to sign up. We have our fly fishing day that will be coming up in October. So if you want to book an appointment with that and be part of that, get on that schedule, you can contact our fly fishing director at dragonlady50@hotmail.com. Her name is Cindy Krostek, and she runs the fly tying program. So, excuse me, as soon as she knows how many people are attending, she can work on getting enough instructors to make sure that there are, you know, we have enough people per instructor to help them with the fly tying and for the fly fishing day.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's really great. So let's see. So anything? Yeah. So I feel like we've covered the gamut of all these amazing modalities that you have in working with. And so as far as, are there any like future plans to be working with? I don't know, any kind of research studies, like scientific studies. Certainly we see a lot of stuff coming out now, you know, around PTSD and all these amazing modalities. So, you know, any future with that, or are you just kind of going?
We have interest, and we've started conversations. I've actually partnered with a company called Simplify, and we will be bringing a wellness day here this coming Sunday from 11 to 3, and we will bring in different practitioners for acupuncture, yoga, nutrition, meditation, to help talk about all the different modalities. And as we move forward, we'll be able to have the studies to help build that. And hopefully we'll bring in some researchers from different local colleges that will help us with that.
Yeah, that would be great. Yeah, keep us posted for sure. So for those people who maybe don't have access or are listening, you know, to us who aren't local, Rhode Island, and may possibly feel they have symptoms suggestive of PTSD or trauma, I know for myself, like you had mentioned earlier, you don't have to be in war, right, or, you know, be in different places like that. I mean, I didn't realize myself until fairly recently as an adult that I have PTSD myself. So it's like, you know, you start to kind of look at certain characteristics and behaviors that you have, and things like going into a restaurant, I always have to have my back against the wall. You know, I need to be able to see the door, things like that, feeling safe.
Right.
So, you know, different things I started to pick up on until someone said to me, you know, that was a practitioner and said, you know, it seems like you're PTSD. And then I started to research it more, and I was like, wow, yeah, I believe that I do. So, you know, what are some things that if they don't have access to, like, centers or, you know, whatnot, resources that you could suggest to people in starting to manage?
Definitely no matter what state you're in, there's going to be different types of programs that are available. For instance, for us ourselves, we network with Team Red, White, and Blue for any 5Ks or Tough Mudders or outdoor activities, rock climbing, and things like that. And then there's another nonprofit that called Veteran Anglers Charters that does deep sea fishing. So I would say just if it's a veteran populated population that's looking for some support, if they're not in the New England area, Rhode Island, Connecticut, Mass area, there'll be other types of equine therapy. You can just Google equine therapy, Google yoga for veterans that are in your in your area. You know, look up a nutrition class that you can take. Go to your local VA. That's another resource. And you know, if it's a veteran population, if it's somebody with PTSD outside of the veteran population, I would just look up those different modalities in your area.
Yeah, great. Great point. And as far as who can support you, as far as like practitioners and volunteers, where are you at with that? And what are you specifically looking for people to help you at, you know, the Dare to Dream Ranch in Foster, Rhode Island?
Yeah, thank you. So there's lots of different ways you can help us out. First of all, if you know of any service member or veteran or their family that can utilize our services, please give them my information. Like I said, go to datadreamranch.org. All my information is on there. Refer them to us, and we will take it from there. That's number one. And then for other financial support, we have you can be a monthly donor where you donate $20 a month for to support our programs, and you can do that through GoFundMe.com/supporting-our-veterans, and that would be you can set up as a monthly donation. You can attend our events. If you go to our website, you can see the list of events under fundraising, the events that are coming up. We have a fashion week in Newport that will benefit the ranch. And you can attend that. That's on October 9th. You can look up Fashion Week RI, and that will give you when that fashion show is. Another one is on December 9th. We have the Newport Navy Choristers are having a Christmas concert at St. Lucie's, and $12 for adults, $8 for children. You can attend that as a way of supporting us and having a nice night out. It is Christmas time in Newport, so you can spend the day shopping and sightseeing through Newport and then come to the Christmas concert. You can place an ad for your business. If you own a business, you can place an ad in our program, or just put friend of Data Dream Ranch and put an ad in there, or in memory of somebody, put in the ad for that. And that you can find that information on our website. We also have a business 4-foot by 2-foot signs on our outdoor riding arena to promote your business. It's called Sign Me Up. In that program, we're still taking on another 15 businesses for that, and then we'll be maxed out for the signs. And volunteering, if you want to come help with clearing land or taking care of animals or helping to fix things, you can contact us and let us know you'd like to volunteer.
Great. All right. Well, we'll get the word out there for you, Karen, for sure. So we're going to shift gears just a little bit, ask you some personal questions about you. I always ask my guests, what is your favorite guilty pleasure?
My favorite guilty pleasure? Taking time for myself. I always feel guilty about that.
Yeah, typical woman, right? That's funny. That's awesome. That's a different one. That's a new one I've heard. If you could have lunch with a famous person alive or passed on, who would that be?
Lunch with a famous person, huh?
Yeah, any kind. I mean, it could be an athlete, it could be a singer, it could be...
Oh, I just posted it yesterday, actually. Dr. Quinn, medicine woman from that TV show, Dr. Quinn.
Oh, yeah,
her name was Michaela Quinn. That's who my youngest daughter is actually named after, is that actress. So it was kind of cool. So, you know, that would be, you know, somebody that was a role model and, you know, when I was growing up, and then, you know, thought, wow, she's really strong and independent and successful and taking care of herself. And so I know it's just a role that she played, but I'm sure it impacted her.
Sure. Yeah, that's great. Something you could tell us about yourself that nobody knows.
I don't think there's anything out there that,
or that most
nobody
people
knows.
Don't know.
I was
when
a teenage
a girl,
mother.
Yeah.
So this all started, you know, I was 16 years old when I had my first daughter. So, you know, so I was a teenage mom, and, you know, somebody, I guess I'm turning into a motivational. Somebody thinks they can't have, you know, a good life because they had children at such a young age. Yes, you can.
That's great. Good. Top three things on your bucket list?
Travel the world. Number one. Travel Europe. Top three things. I want to own a Frisian horse.
I love Frisian.
My absolute dream horse. That is my bucket list. Third one, huh? I guess traveling the world just took up, like, I could individually say the different places I want to travel.
Sure.
So
yeah,
traveling
fine.
The world, I guess traveling within the United States, I'd like to see more of what the United States has to offer.
Right. Great. Amazing. So any last words of wisdom you'd like to share with our listeners?
I would say find the greatness within you. Find what mm-hmm. makes you feel alive. Find what makes you feel passionate. Don't let somebody else tell you you can't accomplish your dreams. And dream big, because you'll never be bigger than your dreams.
Mm. Great, great last words of advice. It was so amazing to have you on the show. Once again, guys, I'm your host, Victoria Haffer. You can reach me at victoriahaffer.com. Thank you for joining us on Inspired Rebel Radio, your place to be inspired to step outside the box, embrace your fears, and live your life as if the gate was left wide open. Live a sacred rebel life, fierce, adventurous, and free.
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want. I can be what I want to be.
Coach on Fire Radio.